Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We're going to speak up for those maybe who can't speak for themselves.
Kentucky lawmakers are considering a resolution to combat sex trafficking.
Senator Rand Paul calls the new budget agreement a bad deal.
A man has been arrested in connection with the September death and dismemberment of a Huntington woman.
A former Kentucky high school principal has been sentenced for child pornography charges.
The Kentucky House and Senate are considering resolutions to combat sex trafficking.
In sports, MSU's men and women's basketball teams host Simo tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with lows around 24. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A former Kentucky high school principal has been sentenced to 9 years in federal prison for child pornography after uploading nude pictures of a student whose cell phone he confiscated. Steve and Kyle Goodlett apologized in Louisville federal court today to his victims and to the judge. He said what he did was, quote, morally reprehensible, end quote, and that he failed to live up to the standards he set for other people. Goodlett pleaded guilty last year to federal child pornography charges after a young alumni of LaRue County High School discovered that naked images she had taken for her boyfriend at age 15 had been uploaded to a Russia-based pornography trading website. Authorities traced it to Goodlett and found many images on his device. Prosecutors say Goodlett covertly searched and confiscated student cell phones for nude photos of teenage girls and saved them to thumb drives to be viewed and traded on the internet.
A man has been arrested in connection with the death and dismemberment of a 40-year-old Carrie Jo Wardell Wood of Huntington. WSAZ reports R.G. Jeffers was taken into custody late last night and charged with murder and concealing a dead body. Wood's dismembered body was found by a fisherman near a boat ramp in September of last year. Jeffers' home was searched under warrant in October, where blood and tissue were found. Jeremy Jeffers called Cabell County 911 yesterday, saying RG had asked him to help discard some buckets at a car wash dumpster, and that upon looking in the buckets, he found body parts. Police identified the body parts as belonging to Wood. Investigators say additional search warrants are being executed and more arrests may be made.
Two people have been arrested after refusing to pay for their Domino's pizza in Pikeville last night. According to WYMT, the delivery driver called Pikeville police after Vanessa Hall and James Warrix refused to pay for the pizza they had ordered. Officers reported the smell of marijuana upon arriving at the home. Police found crystal meth, prescription pills, and other drugs inside the apartment. Needles were found hidden under a mattress where two children, ages 5 and 7, were sleeping at the time. The pair was arrested and are both charged with endangering the welfare of a minor and possession of a controlled substance.
The victim has been identified in a Tuesday night shooting that ended in a stalemate with Lexington police. WKYT reports police responded to reports of gunshots on Squires Woods Way, where they found the body of 19-year-old Christopher Spencer on the porch of an apartment building. Police say the alleged gunman was holding a woman against her will inside the building. After several hours of negotiations, 21-year-old Morgan Johnson exited the home and was arrested. Johnson is charged with murder, kidnapping, rape, and burglary. He remains in jail without bond.
We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Kentucky House and Senate are considering two resolutions to combat sex trafficking. WKYT reports one of the resolutions tackles internet trafficking, while the other focuses on child trafficking at hotels. The action comes as legislators cite increasing rates of sex trafficking throughout the past decade. Mary Kunz is a public policy analyst with the Family Foundation. She says exploited women and children are more than just numbers.
They're daughters, they're sisters, they're mothers, and they're our neighbors. They're real people. They're not somebody in a movie, but they're somebody that we actually run into every day.
The Internet Trafficking Resolution urges Congress to close a loophole that sometimes prevents law enforcement from shutting down online ads for sex. The hotel resolution encourages training for residential establishments to spot sex trafficking and exploitation.
Kentucky police officer Lindy Trischler was forced to go on unpaid leave when her request to go on light duty was denied while she was pregnant. The lost income during her time away from the Florence Police Department resulted in financial hardships, forcing her family to move in with relatives. Trischler spoke out on Thursday in favor of a bill that would amend Kentucky's civil rights laws to provide on-the-job protections for pregnant women. The measure was advanced by the Senate Judiciary Committee with bipartisan support. The workplace accommodations proposed for pregnant women would include opportunities for temporary transfer to less strenuous duties. It could also include more frequent or longer work breaks and accommodations to allow them to sit while working.
Educational budget cuts is a prime topic for discussion in the Kentucky General Assembly. About $220 million will be cut from educational funding if Governor Matt Bevin's proposal goes unchanged. Some officials, like President of the Public Policy Solutions, Jim Waters, wonders if the hefty cuts to education are going to be beneficial.
It definitely takes money to educate students, but the question is, what are we getting in return for that? And when we look at the growing achievement gaps, especially in our largest school district in Jefferson County, when we look at graduation rates.
Kentucky lawmakers are currently looking at ways to restore the funding if it gets cut.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he and his colleagues have reached a budget agreement that may not be perfect, but finds important common ground. McConnell spoke on the Senate floor yesterday.
First and foremost, this bipartisan agreement will unwind the sequestration cuts that have hamstrung our armed forces and jeopardized our national security. In addition, this bill will provide for our returning heroes. Too often, underfunded, overcomplicated bureaucracies fail to deliver the care our veterans deserve.
McConnell says the bipartisan bill will also bolster investment in infrastructure, disaster relief, and the fight against the opioid epidemic. He says the Senate Appropriations Committees now have 6 weeks to negotiate detailed appropriations and deliver full funding for the remainder of fiscal year 2018.
While the White House is in favor of a new bipartisan budget agreement, a Kentucky senator is calling it a bad deal. Senator Rand Paul says no to the two-year budget deal. According to WYMT, the almost $400 billion deal would go toward providing large spending increases for Pentagon and domestic programs. Paul says they made a deal to spend more money and put the U.S. further into debt.
This year, the deficit for this year will be almost $1 trillion. And the reason for that is that they're not obeying the spending caps.
Senator Paul introduced the Government Shutdown Prevention Act last month. If that passes, any agency, program, or activity that Congress failed to fund at the start of the fiscal year would receive a 1% cut.
Rowan County Superintendent Marvin Moore thinks a proposal under consideration by the State House to provide loans for public schools in Kentucky that are struggling to pay their bills is a good idea. Under the $7 million program, school districts in need could take out no-interest loans of up to $500,000. With the Commonwealth's K-12 schools facing likely state funding cuts, Moore says many of them will probably need that help. He points out while the loans would provide temporary assistance, lawmakers need to find more long-term solutions for how to better fund the state's public schools. Moore notes he talked with many of them earlier this week in Frankfort.
Not one time did I hear anybody mention the tax reform. Did I hear him mention budget? Did I hear him mention the pension? And they're dealing with some things that probably need to be dealt with. But I think those three major things, they've been down there now almost a third of the time that they'll be there, and they're still not talking about the the big three, in my opinion.
At this point, Moore says the Rouen school system is holding its own financially and wouldn't need to take part in the loan program.
When asked how much money his department would need to improve the success of its efforts to nail drug dealers plying their trade in the county, Rouen Chief Deputy Joe Klein says he really is not quite sure. Klein says he's never sat down and tried to figure that out, but he knows it would reach into the thousands of dollars. For now, he notes they're doing everything they can with every resource available.
You know, you got to operate within your means, and that's what we do. We have been doing. We haven't run negative or short in the sheriff's office. Sheriff Sparks has done an outstanding job, and he's put up the right people in the right places. But if there's something we lack, it's funding. It's money to be able to do more.
As Klein notes, the Rouen Sheriff's Department needs to have a lot of cash on hand so it can conduct large undercover buys, which helps it nail major drug dealers. Klein is overseeing Operation Rouen Roundup, his agency's anti-drug initiative, for the past 8 years. The focus of the effort has changed over the years from arresting low-level dealers to catch large-scale drug kingpins.
Infrastructure improvements were the topic for the Boyd County Fiscal Court on Tuesday. Brian Courtney has the story.
The improvements are to be made at East Park and include a new pump station and a 13-mile-long sewer line. The changes are being made to accommodate Brady Industries' $1.3 million aluminum mill set to start production in 2020. According to the Daily Independent, the estimated cost for the sewer work alone totals $3.4 million. Boyd Economic Developer Director Nikki Smith says she is confident they receive enough federal funding and state grants to fund the project. Officials also accepted a section of Commerce Road near East Park into the county road systems in order to make improvements to the road. The Boyd County Fiscal Court will meet again on March 13th at 10 a.m. Brian Courtney, WMKY News.
Maysville is a step closer to having a fairness ordinance. The Kentucky Fairness Campaign brought the issue before the City Commission last month in an effort to secure protections against discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. According to the Ledger Independent, officials have been talking to their counterparts in other cities in Kentucky that have similar regulations and plan to set a timeline next for a passage of a fairness ordinance. Mayor David Cartmell favors its adoption in Maysville, which he says is already a very accepting community.
We've just never had any problems here, but we just thought, age of sensitivity that is around us with all the protests and everything, it might be nice to be proactive and have something, at least some guidelines to go by.
Cardmell says Maysville's fairness ordinance will protect minorities from all backgrounds. 10 cities in Kentucky have fairness ordinances, including Moorhead.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly clear skies, lows around 24 degrees. On your Friday, partly sunny with highs near 57. On Friday night, there's a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy otherwise with lows around 36. On Saturday, highs near 51. There's a 90% chance of precipitation and some showers. Saturday night, showers with that 90% chance of precipitation continuing, lows around 39 degrees. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is currently sitting at 35 degrees in Flemingsburg, 34 in Ashland, 38 in Winchester, it's 40 degrees in Inez, and it's 37 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
On our feature segment today, state and local leaders are celebrating a milestone in education and economic investment as the inaugural semester kicks off at the new Rouen campus of Maysville Community and Technical College. WMKY's Arlo Barnett has more.
The ribbon-cutting ceremony for the 87,000-square-foot post-secondary center for excellence showed off shiny new digs surrounded by fresh blacktop, but the emotional highlight was a speech by Victoria Witherspoon, a non-traditional student who didn't think she had another chance at an education. Campus Director Russ Ward introduced her.
Students. And I'll say something about Vicki Witherspoon. She was telling me, and I didn't realize this, last graduation, last year, I got to introduce her daughter as the student speaker. She just told me that her daughter just graduated, her next daughter will graduate this coming May, and then she will graduate the following May. So that's a testament to what.
Witherspoon went on to relate the life-changing financial and emotional help offered to her by MCTC.
So when I got in here, I was really enthusiastic, but I got a little, things had started getting a little heavy for me. Things had started getting a little, you know, overwhelming. And there was another lady, Tanya Arnett, and I would go in her office and I would cry. And she said, Vicki, there's no need to cry. We got you. You can do this. I said, well, I don't know, Tanya. I don't know. She said, you know, you can do it.
MCTC President Stephen Vasek says that same student-centered approach also got the campus funded as part of the Build Smart initiative.
The Build Smart program is predicated on three-fourths of the money coming from the state, but that wasn't money the state gave us. That was money that they allowed us to bond, and student fees are helping pay that off. So this really is a building that students are investing in. They voted to approve it, and you know, this is what we're doing on their behalf, but they're investing in this.
That investment includes 28 state-of-the-art classrooms and several laboratories, think industrial fluids and robotics, which aim to provide students with a hands-on modern manufacturing environment. It's the largest project so far within the Kentucky Community and Technical College system, and it sprang up in about a year and a half at the MMRC Regional Business Park off of I-64 and Kentucky 801. Russ Ward.
I think as much as anything, with it being located here in the industrial park, we're hoping it helps some economic growth within the region. You know, I know the Industrial Economic Development Council and Bob Helton here in the industrial park, you know, they're going to use it as a tool to basically recruit industry.
Or as Steve Vasek puts it.
We now have the facilities. If a new company comes in, like Brady or one of their subsidiaries comes in and says, we need you to do some advanced training in a particular area, we can do that now.
The facility is located on Rocky Adkins Tech Drive, and the namesake of that road was on hand for the ribbon cutting. The House Minority Leader says the new campus is a dream come true, but Governor Bevin's proposed cuts to higher education endanger it.
The reason this project is so important, it's about a highly skilled, a highly trained, and a highly educated workforce. And I believe that the reason Kentucky has done well in growing its economy is because over the last 30 years, we've been willing to invest in public education.
With the initial investment made, several years of hard work on the part of Russ Ward, the campus director is glad to finally have students in the building.
I'm a little tired, but I'm ready to now enjoy the fruits of all of our labors and see the students come in and succeed. I mean, that's the ultimate reward, and that's the reason we're doing it.
I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News.
It's 4:48 and 37 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we're so happy you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Eagles in Seymour. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Southeast Missouri State will provide the opposition in both games as Morehead State's basketball teams host an OVC doubleheader at Johnson Arena this evening starting at 5:15. Coach Greg Todd's Morehead women will be trying to get back on track after last Saturday's 21-point loss to Belmont. Todd doesn't want his Eagles to focus on bouncing back from that disappointing outing.
It's really more about playing a good SEMO team here who's got an excellent team, but it's more about that, you know, the turnaround to play in them. You know, you can't spend a lot of time when you're in league play. You've got to get going for your next game.
The MSU men's game against Southeast Missouri is at 7:30. The 6-17 Eagles have been struggling offensively lately. Coach Preston Spradlin thinks it would help if his Eagles would hit some more three-point shots.
We want to shoot the ball better because what it does, it just puts so much pressure defensively. And the better three-point shooting team you are, the better two-point shooting team you are, the better post-up team you are, the better driving team you are, because they have to respect that. So we want to get there, and we got to make some shots.
MSU will be looking to avenge last month's 78-75 loss to SEMO. Louisville will try to right its ship tonight as the Cardinals host Georgia Tech at 7 at the Yum Center. Coach David Padgett's team has lost three straight.
We have seven league games left, so we have some opportunities to get back on track here, but we just we got to go back to work, get back to the drawing board, and figure out what we need to do.
The Cardinals are 16-6 overall, 5-6, 6-5 in the ACC. Georgia Tech is just 11-12 for all games, but the Yellow Jackets features the talent of guards Josh Okogie and Jose Alvarado, who combine to average 31 points per game. The Kentucky basketball team hopes to snap its two-game losing streak on Saturday when they visit Texas A&M. After scoring 34 points against West Virginia, Kentucky forward Kevin Knox has combined to score just 33 points in the last three games. Kentucky coach John Calipari says that has to change for his team to get back to its winning ways.
I'd like him to go to the rim more. I'd like him to get in there and get fouled more. The play he made, the and one, I'd like to see a bunch of those. When the court's crowded, he struggles a little bit with that, so maybe we got to do some things to make the court more open for him.
At 16-8 on the year, 5-6 in SEC play, Texas A&M will go into Saturday's game coming off of an 81-80 upset win at number 8 Auburn last night. Brown County's basketball teams will both be on the hardwood this evening. The 15-7 Lady Vikings have a measuring stick game against Ashland Blazer. The Kittens are 19-4 and rank as one of the 16th region's top teams. Rounds 1-5 straight, and Coach Ed Jones says his team has just gotten better and better as the season's gone along.
People don't realize it's taken some people like Angela Markham a little bit of time because of the knee. Our point guard is a 7th grader. You know, our shooting guard's an 8th grader. It's taken them time simply because you're talking about a 12- and 13-year-old out there. And, that's basically the people you're going to run your offense.
As for the 12- and 13-round boys, they'll be at Cooper Gym at 7:30 to face East Carter. The NBA trade deadline has passed, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have a nearly entire new roster. In multiple trades throughout the day, Cleveland acquired Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. from the Lakers for Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye. They also got Rodney Hood and George Hill in a three-way deal with the Utah Jazz and Sacramento Kings for Iman Shumpert, Jay Crowder, and Derrick Rose. The Cavs shipped Dwayne Wade back to Miami for a second-round draft pick as well. Elsewhere, the Denver Nuggets are trading guard Emmanuel Mudiay to the New York Knicks as part of a three-team deal. The Knicks will send Doug McDermott to the Mavericks, and Denver will acquire Devin Harris and a future second-round pick from Dallas. The Magic are sending point guard Elfrid Payton to the Suns for a second-round draft pick, and the Pelicans sent Dante Cunningham to Brooklyn for Rashard Vaughn. The Morehead State football coaching staff has added a new member. Frederick Walker will be the new quarterback's coach and serve as offensive recruiting coordinator. Walker comes to Morehead State from Troy University. He served 4 seasons as a student assistant for head coach Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. He helped the offensive coordinator develop quarterbacks there, where he mentored current Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback Dak Prescott. One note from the NFL, San Francisco has signed starting quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to a 5-year, $137 million contract extension. With its 2018 season opener slated for a week from tomorrow, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire says his ball club is making solid progress in its preseason practices. Despite some spotty weather over the past few weeks, the Eagles have played a number of inter-squad games, and McGuire likes what he's seen during them.
We've thrown the ball really well in our inter-squads, and that's an exciting thing for me. I think I like where we're at right now from a pitching standpoint. You expect the pitching to be a little bit ahead of the hitting this time of year in the inter-squads, and that's held true. And honestly, I'd be a little concerned if it wasn't the case. But I feel like we're starting to have better at-bats as each inter-squad goes on.
The MSU baseball team's first game is next Friday against UMass Lowe down in South Carolina. Meanwhile, Morehead State junior outfielder Nico Hosizer has been tabbed to the National Collegiate Baseball Writers All-American team. Hosizer is a third-team selection. This marks the 6th preseason All-American team he has been named to. Finally in sports, the 2018 season for the MSU softball team gets started tomorrow. The Eagles are returning most of their starters from last year's 26-22 team. Coach David Williams expects to have a good team this year.
I do. We've got a lot of experience. We've got a lot of top returners in some statistical categories within the conference. We got a team last year that did some really good things as a team, and a lot of those key players are back. You know, we lost 2 everyday starters from last year's team, but everybody else is back. And, you know, as long as we stay healthy and they keep focused on the end goal, I think we're going to be okay.
MSU gets the season started at 10 a.m. in the morning against Central Michigan. They also battle Buffalo at 12:15 tomorrow. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball hosts Southeast Missouri for a doubleheader tonight. The women's game is set for 5:15 and the men tip off at 7:30. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as strong earnings and economic data were not enough to quell jitters on Wall Street about higher interest rates, and the Dow Industrials finished with a huge loss of 1,032.89, finishing at 23,860.46. The S&P 500 was down 100.66 at 2581. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 274.82 at 6777.16. Despite the decline today, the Dow Jones average is still above its low for the week, which was hit on Tuesday, which was 23,778. The S&P 500, however, did reach a new low for the week, and the index also broke below its 100-day moving average. Among NASDAQ heavyweights today, Facebook, Amazon, and Microsoft all fell at least 4.5%. And as mentioned, interest rates are big culprit today as the 10-year U.S. note yield rose to 2.88% this morning, and that definitely chilled enthusiasm for stocks. But eventually, the sell-off in stocks contributed to strength in bonds, and so the 10-year Treasury came back up in price and actually closed at 2.85%, so it is still holding around multi-year highs in terms of the yield. And, of course, a rise in yields yesterday led to the Dow posting its biggest one-day reversal since August 2015. In earnings news, Twitter and Grubhub reported better-than-expected quarterly results. Twitter shares were up 12%, while Grubhub spiked 27% today. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.25%, so it participated with the stock market's weakness, finishing at $60.41 a barrel. Gold was up 0.4% on a safe haven bid as it finished at $1,319.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak today. The Stock 600 index was down 1.6%. In Asia, those stocks were mostly higher, with the Nikkei up 1.8% and the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong finishing up 0.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, all 30 stocks were down today. Your worst performers in the Dow were American Express and Intel. In the S&P 500, you did have several stocks that were positive, and your very best performers in the S&P 500 today were Coty and Viacom, while the worst performers were HanesBrands and Nielsen. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $2.11 at $70.55, AEP down 46 cents at $63.37, CSX down $2.50 at $50.47, AK Steel down 4 cents at $4.56, Marathon Petroleum down $2.29 at $62.80, and Kroger was down $1.33, finishing at $27.57. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting the 13th Annual Moorhead Antique Market, March 4th and 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. On-site appraisals by Tom Clark and Richard Mook from KET's Antiques Collectibles TV show. The Moorhead Antique Market at the Moorhead Conference Center, Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, mostly clear skies with lows around 24 degrees. It is currently 37 degrees here in Moorhead.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Kenzie Thompson, Brian Courtney, Tilden Johnson, and Braxton Howard. WUKY's Josh James and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke chipped in, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Arlo Barnett. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.